Ready? Okay. Give me a beach.
Beach.
Give me great food.
Tacos.
Give me adventure.
Hiking.
Give me a date night.
Sunset cruise.
Give me some smiles.
Cheese.
Give me more beaches.
Beaches.
What's that spell?
San Diego.
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Hi, everybody. I'm Kelsey Nixon, and this is Kitchen Prescription, the podcast you listen to when you don't know what to make for dinner. This is episode 55, Making Dinner When You're Never Home. Look, there's a lot going on right now. We are a couple of months into school, we're a couple of months into extracurriculars, and if your household is anything like mine, there is at least 1, 2, 3 things every single night of the week, not to mention just the school functions alone. You've got the harvest festivals and the school carnivals and the book fair. There seems to be something to do every single night. And on top of all of that, the one thing that never goes away is dinner. We gotta feed our people. Honestly, half the time I wish I didn't have to worry about it. But I do, and so do you. And it's worth figuring out. This time of year, I think, is maybe the hardest to figure out because there's so much going on. Between the extracurricular activities, the school routines, and gearing up for the holidays, it can be very easy to get in a state of overwhelm. And most of the time, it's never for a lack of recipes. I think that the challenge has a lot more to do with the fact that we're never home. I hear so many moms say that between the hours of 4 and 8, I'm just like a taxi service. I just drive people around. And that can be really difficult when you want to support your kids in developing these talents and participating in these extracurricular activities for all of the benefits that come with that. But it's also really important to you that you have a family ritual of having a meal together. So, how do we make sure everybody eats when it feels like nobody is home? We are going to get into that, but first I want to discuss 3 simple recipes you could throw on your meal plan this week. The first thing I am making that I'm excited about is chicken pot pie soup. It is soup season. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in October, and that means I get to make as much soup as I want. What's been interesting for me in the 15 years that I've been married is that I've really had to convince my husband that soup is a meal, and I know I can't be the only one out there, but the good thing about chicken pot pie soup is it is hearty. It is hearty and it is filling. I love this recipe. I love it because I get to make biscuits. Now, if you are not someone who's feeling overwhelmed by time, you could make biscuits from scratch, or you could pick up one of my favorite store-bought shortcut ingredients, which are these frozen Pillsbury Grands biscuits. My mom used to buy these, all right? She first bought the ones in the can, and then we graduated to the frozen ones. But they're pretty darn good, and they are definitely good enough for a last-minute weeknight meal. So good. We make those biscuits, serve it with this soup, and it is delicious. I almost always use part of my rotisserie chicken that I get every week to add to the soup, so I don't even have to cook any chicken. It's just throwing all of those ingredients into the pot, letting it work its magic. I can make it earlier in the day, let it sit on the stove, and then when people are hungry, they can dig in. Now, that is hearty, a little heavy. I'm also making my chopped kale Caesar salad with salmon. The thing that makes this recipe so darn good is the dressing. I had never been in the habit of making a homemade Caesar dressing, mostly because I thought, oh, in order for it to be legitimate, I got to put anchovies in it, and that sounds too hard. No, there's no anchovies in this dressing. It is just a delicious, like finger-licking good dressing. I love it so much. You obviously could do this without salmon, or you could do grilled chicken or whatever you want. But my family really likes this with salmon. It is light and perfect and filling and just so, so yummy. And then finally, we are making the sausage, pepper, and potato skillet. This all happens in one skillet, making dishes minimal. It's got, like, this is for your meat and potato eaters, right? It's got the sausage, it's got bell peppers, it's got potatoes, and it's got cheese. And it's really, really delicious. I like serving it with a side salad, and it's really good. It's one of my favorite fall winter recipes. I haven't made it in a couple of months because it hasn't been fall winter, and so I'm happy to see that back on our meal plan. There are your recipes for the week. You can find all of them in Recipe Club individually or in our weekly meal plan with easy to follow shopping list broken down by recipe. We've also got this great one-click shopping feature in Recipe Club. If you're an Instacart user, it's amazing how quickly you can put your groceries in your grocery cart. Remember that we kind of switched things up a bit and have tried to support you even more when it comes to mapping out your meals in Recipe Club. So make sure you check out our homepage every weekend where I will walk you through the exact steps you should take to making a very simple meal plan to make your life easier. All right, let's jump into the back half of the podcast where we are going to discuss what you make for dinner when you're never home. When you find yourself in a chapter of life that feels extra crazy and you just feel like you're never home, I want to help you create a simple dinner system for just simply getting your people fed. Nothing is worse than soccer practice wrapping up at 6 o'clock and you getting everyone in the car and you realize that you have not planned anything for dinner, while simultaneously your kids are melting down in the back seat because they're hangry. And that is when we cue the McDonald's drive-thru. But what's really bad is when that's what happened the night before. And we've all been there. And it's not so much the fast food part that's not ideal. It's the fact that you felt like you were scrambling. And nobody wants to scramble. So I find myself in this chapter right now. And at times, the typical approach I would take to meal planning might be extra tricky in this chapter. So here's what I suggest. If you find yourself in one of these crazy chapters, first and foremost, this is the most important thing you're going to do. You are going to look at your weekly schedule ahead in advance on the same time every week, and you're going to go day by day. I'm talking before you look at your pantry to see what ingredients you have on to use up, or before you look at your recipe binder or your cookbooks or your Pinterest board, the first thing you're going to do is look at your schedule. I want you to identify what nights are realistic for you to eat at home and what nights aren't. Scheduling this time to review the schedule is crucial. It's so crucial that I would suggest you pause this podcast and you add an alarm to your phone right now for schedule review, family schedule review, and it's at the same time every week. And you're not just reviewing your family schedule about when this kid has soccer and this one has dance and this one has tumbling and this one has scouts. You're also reviewing it through the lens of how you're going to feed your people amongst such a crazy family schedule. I know for my family, I mean, each week is filled with surfing, baseball, musical theater. We've got the program at the YMCA we're doing right now. We've got church youth group that we're doing. We've got two working parents in the household. It is crazy. And just this week alone, we've got two book fairs. We got a school dance. There's just so many things. And the reason it's important to look at that schedule week after week is because there's so much variation in the weeks. So it's really, really important. So not only are you going to see when everybody's got to be where they got to be to organize your carpools, you're going to think about how people are going to be fed. So this also includes thinking about where they're going to eat. Because for me, an ideal situation is we all eat at the table. Well, that might be a realistic 2, 3, maybe 4 nights a week if I'm lucky. But most nights, I don't have everyone at the table. Now, sometimes we're all in the car. Sometimes we're all at the studio. Sometimes we're all at the ball field. And sometimes 3 of us are there. So you need to think about where we're going to be when these people need to eat. And that's going to help determine what you're going to feed everybody. I want to remind you at this point that when it comes to the ritual of having family dinner, which I feel so passionately about. What you eat isn't what's most important. It's the conversation and the togetherness that happens that's most important. So if every Thursday night you've got so much going on that you've decided that you are going to deem it Chick-fil-A night, great. Embrace it. Make memories. Make it a fun tradition and give yourself the night off. Or maybe it's going to be cold cereal night. And you're going to let everybody have cold cereal for dinner. And that's the fun tradition. Whatever it takes to survive this chapter, I just want to remind you that you should prioritize the togetherness over the food. And it's like I said, it might be unrealistic for you to think that all of your family members are going to be together. That's okay. Like on Wednesday nights for us, my son always has a late baseball game that starts at 7:30, but he has to be there at 6:30. So it makes dinner really tricky. You know what we do on those nights? Girls' night dinner. It is girls' night dinner, and me and my girls always plan something fun together. Sometimes we stay in, sometimes we go out, and that is the ritual that is really, really fun. And it gives my husband and my son an opportunity to have boys' night dinner. So that's an example of just pre-planning that so that you're not scrambling or feeling disappointed that it's another night when we're not having dinner together. That's so critical to do. I want to give you another example of this. I have a sister who's got three kids. She lives in Denver, and they've got one busy night where they've got, I think it's tumbling and dance in the same night, and it's about 20 minutes from their home. So it gets tricky to get home in time for dinner, and it's in this downtown area of Denver, and so they have made it a tradition that on Thursday nights, I think they go to the same pizza parlor every week, and they get a slice of pizza. And her kids look forward to it. It's so much fun, and I love the idea of those kids having memories of doing that. So it doesn't always have to be that, you know, traditional image of everyone gathered around the table. As long as you are making an effort to connect with your people, that's what's most important. Okay, so once you've determined, you've looked at your schedule, you've determined, okay, this is when everybody's going to eat, and it's going to be different every night, probably, and this is where everyone's going to have to eat. We're going to be at the baseball field for a baseball tournament, or we're going to be in the car driving from this thing to this thing. In fact, I got to tell you guys, a couple months ago, I was talking to some Recipe Club members about this new product that we're developing, and I was asking this mom about what it's like to feed her family every week, and she told me that on Tuesdays, they have car dinner. And she talked about how one child played competitive soccer and the other one did gymnastics, and how they had no time to go home for dinner, and so they would have car dinner. And she had a section in her recipe binder for car dinners, stuff she would pack in the car and they would eat dinner. I loved it. I love it. I love that she thought about it in advance so that she didn't feel as if she was scrambling. Okay, back to where we are going with this. You've determined where everyone's going to be, when they're going to eat it, who's going to be there, who's not going to be there. Now we got to figure out how to accurately determine how many meals you should order groceries for and what you're going to actually cook that week. Because I don't think anybody feels satisfied with the idea of eating out every night. A, it's way too expensive. B, we want our kids to have some home-cooked meals. I want to eat a home-cooked meal. So yes, give yourself the grace of doing that once if you have to, twice a week. But you also should have some go-to greatest hits recipes for dinners on the go, dinners at home for super busy nights. And that has been the biggest game changer for me and my family, is predetermining what those recipes are. So that when I am looking at a very overwhelming family schedule for the week, I don't have to flip through 60 recipes. I know that this list of, let's see, I'm looking at my list. There's 5 dinners on the go, and there's 5 dinners at home for busy nights. And I can utilize that list. So let me tell you what some of my dinners on the go are. These are things that don't really need to be hot or cold. And some of them are better hot, but they're really very simple. So like any sort of pasta salad. I got big pasta lovers in my house. And we have this delicious tortellini salad. It's kind of like got a Greek thing going on, and it's so yummy. My kids love it. It's got tomatoes and cucumbers in it and feta cheese, and it's just so good. Sometimes I throw chicken, sometimes I don't, but the tortellini is really hearty. So that's something that I can pull out of the fridge and take with us, and everyone can kind of snack on it at the park, and we've got dinner on the go. Grab some, because it's Greek, I like grabbing that Stonefire flatbread, and it works. I also have these turkey taco bowls. It's basically a burrito bowl, but it is so simple. It's like dump and stir in the skillet, and then we're big rice lovers. So if I take some rice and I add the turkey stuff on top and it becomes like a burrito bowl situation, yeah, it probably is going to be a little better if it's warm, but you know what it is? It's a lot cheaper than going to Chipotle every week. So that works for us. We have these turkey taco bowls. I've got an Italian pasta salad that's like a little different from the tortellini one. Same thing though. Those pasta salads hold really well. And this has got pepperoni and olives and pepperoncinis in it. So it's a little different flavor profile and really good. And then sometimes I'll pack breadsticks, and we'll have breadsticks and the classic Italian pasta salad. I also have the honey baked ham and Swiss sliders, which I like very much warm. But I've also done these without cooking them in the oven. Really cooking in the oven is really just to warm them up. And these little like Hawaiian sandwiches, they work. They work great at the baseball field. It deters my girls from the snack shack, which they seem to think is the greatest thing in the world. But once you've eaten at the snack shack on Monday, you really don't want to do it again on Wednesday. So those are on my dinners on the go list. And those are all recipes in Recipe Club. Now, dinners at home. So Thursday nights are one of our busy nights. And so on Thursday nights, I always cook a 5-ingredient recipe. It's just my 5-ingredient night. So when I'm sitting down and mapping out meals for the week, I always go to the 5-ingredient section in my recipe binder. And I look through those recipes to determine what 5-ingredient recipe we're going to have on Thursday. So sometimes it's the Trader Joe's steak sandwiches. Sometimes it's the maple mustard salmon. The harvest grain bowls are favorites right now because we do the roasted sweet potatoes and the apples, and it's so yummy. The apple bacon grilled cheese sandwiches, huge hit right now. In fact, we've had them twice this week. Dipped in tomato soup is so yummy. So just do yourself a favor and put those recipes, ideal for dinners on the go or dinners at home for your busiest nights, in a note on your phone. Write them in your planner, write them on a sheet of paper that you stick in your kitchen. Another section I have in my phone is I call them grazing dinners. I think we've talked about this on the podcast before, but dinners that can kind of sit on the stove and regardless of when someone needs to eat, they can come in and dish themselves up. So I've got a couple of those like chili and cornbread that is perfect for that. And we just did one last night, the slow cooker pot roast. I did to make Philly cheesesteaks. So the meat is there, it's ready to go, and really all you have to do is assemble the sandwich. So my girls and I ate earlier, my husband and my son ate later after they got home after baseball, and that to me would be like a grazing dinner, a dinner that can kind of sit and be good at any point in time. The last thing I want to mention is I also have a fast food list in my phone because there are inevitably going to be nights when you're like, okay, we just got to pick something up. What do you guys want? I find that question of what do you guys want to be very tricky. It can invite a lot of disagreement in the car amongst my children. So I like having a running list of fast food options that I can look at, because when I've got so much going on in my brain and I got to think of somewhere to eat, just having them written down works for me. It's such a small thing, but I know I've got Chick-fil-A, Panera, Chipotle, like I've got those things right there, ready to go, so that if I know, okay, we're eating out tonight, I just look at the list. All right, you guys, that's it for this week. Making dinner really is tough. It's tough, especially when you feel like you're never home, but it's important. It's important to feed our people. It's important to find moments of connection, whether that be in the car, over a car dinner, at the baseball field, at a, you know, ballpark dinner, or when you are all at home over your traditional dinner table. Keep in mind, it's not the recipes that are most important, it's the connection that's most important. So do yourself a favor by emphasizing time to take a look at that weekly schedule, determine when you're going to eat on each night, how you're going to eat, how many people are going to be there, and then assign those recipes last rather than thinking about the recipes first. It'll make a huge difference in making the week feel more manageable and getting your people fed. All right, thanks so much for being here. Until next week, I'm Kelsey. See you next time.